Matt Velasquez to start things off. Larry Harris will join us in a half hour as well from the Golden State Warriors. Matt, thanks for coming on this evening. How are you?
I'm just wonderful. Happy to be talking to you about Bucks basketball.
So am I. I'm pretty jacked about this whole thing myself. Okay, so first things first, you're obviously not in the bubble, but you've been able to watch the scrimmages like the rest of us. What stood out to you so far?
I think the number one thing that stood out to me is the Bucks are who we thought they were. I mean, they're still looking like the same team. Obviously, that last scrimmage didn't end well. They played pretty poorly in that second half. But, you know, for the most part, you look at the way that the minutes were spread out, the guys who were playing, the guys who were available, they played the same offense, played mostly the same defense, generally looked, you know, at most teams like the same Bucks that we were used to seeing, you know, for the first 65 games of the season. So I think they've all handled the layoff pretty well. And I think they're looking like a team that's ready to compete at the highest level here in the bubble.
Brook Lopez remembers how to shoot the ball from outside. That's what I've noted in this whole thing. I mean, this is Brook Lopez of last year more so than Brook Lopez of earlier this year.
Though the crazy trade-off with that is that it seems like George Hill has forgotten how to shoot the ball from the outside.
Well, there's that. Why do you bring up the negative format? We're trying to stay positive. It's a preview show. We save that for Friday. Then we'll get negative on the post game.
I'm just saying there's this weird, like, counterbalance thing going on where, like, in the season, you know, Brook was down, George was way up. You know, and now they, you know, in these three scrimmages, Brooke was way up and George was way down. Like, it's just weird. And obviously, like, they're scrimmages. They could be totally meaningless, right? Like, they kind of generally are totally meaningless.
Yep.
Until we see what actually happens in the games. And so you throw those stats and those numbers out the window. You just want to make sure that everybody looks good, looks healthy, looks ready to play. And that's where the Bucks stand right now. So all they need to do is go out there, you know, make the shots, you know, play hard. And we'll see where the chips fall.
You know, the other thing about what we've seen to this point and that I'm anxious to see is how Eric Bledsoe is going to fit into this whole puzzle. And to me, I brought it up to Jim Baschke earlier in the show, and that's my one guy that I'm going to have the spotlight on. I'm telling you right now, Baby Tosh did the postgame shows and did a great job with him earlier in the year, and now I have him for the rest of the year. But when I was at home not doing post-game shows, I would get so mad with Eric Bledsoe because there would be nights where Middleton and Giannis are playing and he takes two shots and a half or whatever, and I'm losing my mind going, dude, you are just as important as they are to the success of this team. You have to be more aggressive. Then Giannis is out, and then there's aggressive Eric Bledsoe. Or Middleton is out, aggressive Eric Bledsoe. To me, I think if you're going to win the whole shebang here and you're going to beat the Lakers or the Clippers at some point, I think Bledsoe has to be aggressive offensively in an entire series if that's going to happen.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, you know, if you're going down the pecking order, you want Giannis
for
to
sure.
be at his best. You want Chris Middleton to be at his best. But then Eric Bledsoe, like, he needs to find those spots and pick those spots correctly. And when he picks his spot to go, he needs to go. And he needs to find a way to get to the hoop. Obviously, teams know that's what he wants to do, and they're going to try and stop him. So he needs to, you know, be ready with either counter moves or know where his passes are or, you know, be able to pull up for jumpers. That's probably, like, pretty far down the list. Or if teams are going to, you know, fade off of him and say, hey, shoot threes. There have been a bunch of games early this season where he would shoot, you know, early, first quarter. He would get wide open looks because teams are going to give it to him. And since he knows he's going to get those looks, he would take them very confidently, shoot them. And if he made them, it would kind of set him off on a pretty good trajectory for the game. So I think keeping that aggressive mentality, knowing the team's going to dare him to shoot, he can use that in his favor to take basically practice level threes early in the game and kind of get off onto a good start. So I'm interested to see what he's going to look like. Obviously, we're not in the bubble. We can't see what practices look like,
right.
Just tiny little snippets. You know, the Bucks had an individual day yesterday. They were off today, so we haven't had a chance to talk to anybody, find any updates, see what Bledsoe's been able to do. I doubt he's going to be able to play in that first game. I think the Bucks are going to be really cautious just because he had such a long time that he was off where he wasn't doing any physical activity. I think they're going to want to ramp him up over time. But we'll see. I mean, maybe they'll just decide to play him a limited time frame against the Celtics and build from there. I'm interested to find out. We'll get to know more starting tomorrow when I hope they do practice again. We get to talk to him again.
Talking with Matt Velasquez, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, here on the 2020 Pro Hoops Bubble Preview Show on The Fan. Marvin Williams is a guy that I think may have gotten screwed up a little bit in all of this here, because he didn't get the consistent run with this team after they acquired him and the season got cut short. How do you view Marvin Williams and how he fits in now with this 8-game regular season and postseason run?
You know, he missed the most recent scrimmage with a slight groin injury. That's how Bud termed it. I'm guessing that's kind of just like, hey, you know what? You're not feeling 100%. You're a veteran. Take your time. Don't need to risk anything. But we'll see. We'll try and get more of an update tomorrow on that. But I think that he has the potential to be a rotation regular. I think that those minutes could be between him and Ersan Ilyasova. And I think he might have a few more things he can bring than Ersan does in terms of, you know, offense and defense, and maybe his quickness, versatility, things like that. You know, Ersan will have certain games or maybe series where his value will maybe exceed Marvin's. But I think that they brought in Marvin Williams for a reason. I think he can stretch the floor. He can make smart decisions. He can rebound. His defensive positioning, that's something that I know that a lot of people I talked to, including Steve Clifford, his former coach in Charlotte, that's the number one thing he brought up, is that Marvin knows exactly where he needs to be on defense, you know, as part of the scheme to help his teammates out. And so, you know, Bud being a defense-first coach and prizing that end of the court, if Marvin can supply that, I think that's going to lead to more minutes. And I think that he also gives them some lineup versatility where you can play him, you know, in a Giannis at center lineup as the nominal five or the nominal four. You can play him, you know, maybe even a couple minutes at a three if you decide to go like at a jumbo lineup. There's just a whole bunch of things you can do with someone like him. And, you know, his shooting, his defense, all of that can be hugely important for the Bucks, you know, come playoff time.
With Bledsoe and George Hill providing they're healthy and able to play, obviously, how much run do you think Dante DiVincenzo gets in the postseason?
Oh, I think he's definitely in that rotation. I think he's definitely part of that bench mob where he's going to come out. And, you know, depending on the game, depending on the matchup, you know, he could be around 20 minutes a game. I wouldn't be all that surprised. I mean, we saw last year in the playoffs, Bud still stuck with trying to play his starters in the mid-30s or high 30s. He didn't like to get his guys over 40 minutes a game. So there's going to be times that they're going to need to lean on their bench, and they're going to just choose to lean on their bench, you know, if past you know, series or any indication. And he's somebody who, with his energy, with his defense, with the way that he can kind of spread the ball around the court, you know, and when he is making shots, obviously that element is there too. If he can do all those things off the bench, you know, whether he's playing with starters or he's playing with other bench guys, the Bucks could win those bench minutes and you know, put their starters on the bench and extend their lead, or, you know, if they're down, they can come back a little bit because of the things that he and some of those other guys off the bench bring.
After Toronto did what they did last year, Matt Velasquez, to slow down Giannis and kind of take the Bucks out of their rhythm, do you think the Bucks allow that to occur again this year in the postseason?
Well, teams are definitely going to try. They're definitely going to try and pack the paint as much as they can. And, you know, I don't know that they're going to have the same type of personnel that the Raptors did last year, which was like perfectly catered to doing what they did. But they're going to try it. And so that means that, you know, the Bucks, from, you know, top to bottom, they're going to need to shoot the ball better. You know, they're going to need to be more willing to shoot the ball. Giannis is going to need to shoot, you know, both, you know, in the mid-range. He has some of those little fadeaways he's been working on, and different moves kind of in that mid-range zone that he can do. Also, the three-pointers. When he's open and he's in rhythm and he's comfortable, you know, he's shown us at times this season, you know, how much better he is from there. So he's going to need to shoot. You know, guys like Eric Bledsoe are going to need to shoot. Like, they're going to need Wesley Matthews and, you know, Kyle Korver and Brook Lopez. Like, you know, everybody on that roster is going to need to be able to hit open shots. That's one of the biggest things that they struggled with against the Raptors last year. They were getting open looks, you know, whether they were wide open or just kind of, you know, not totally contested. They were good looks. And, you know, everybody went cold. Bledsoe went cold. Mirotić went cold. There were games that Middleton went cold. It was just basically Giannis and Brogdon doing stuff at a lot of times in that series. And so, you know, they're going to need to be able to, you know, counter whatever defenses do, which, you know, as we know, is going to be trying to keep Giannis out of the paint. And maybe there might be some opportunities. We've seen it a few times this year where the Bucks can kind of zag a little bit and go old school and get the ball to Brook Lopez in the post and, you know, let him go to work and work the offense through him on the block. And we'll see if that's something they can try and use as a counter in those situations too.
Matt, I am jealous because I can tell you're outside right now, and I am inside in air conditioning, and it feels like you're outside enjoying some summer warm weather right now.
Yeah, it's beautiful out here. It's just, at least where I am, it's nice. And so I am walking outside. I'm enjoying the breeze. You know, you don't get too many days like this, especially the bugs aren't so bad either. So I'm having a good time.
That's good. Enjoy the warm weather while we got it, because before you know it, the snow will be flying, and we'll be talking Bucks basketball in December before you know it. Hopefully about the defending NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks. That's what I'm hoping for. Matt, thanks so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Always good to be talking to you, Sparky.